Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. I am Karthikeyan, moderator for the conference call. Welcome to OnePoint One Solutions Limited Q4 FY26 earnings conference call. As a reminder, all participants will be in listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on a touchtone telephone. Please note, this conference is recorded. I would now like to hand over the floor to Shashank Ganesh from EY. Thank you, and over to you, Shashank.
Thank you, Karthikeyan. Good evening to all the participants on the call. Before we proceed to the call, let me remind you that the discussion may contain forward-looking statements that may involve known or unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors. Therefore, it must be viewed in conjunction with the business risk that could cause further result performance or achievements that differ from what is expressed or implied by such statements. Take us through the results and answer your questions today. We are a senior management of OnePoint One Solutions, represented by Mr. Akash Kamath, full-time director and chief executive officer, global business, Mr. Rajeev Desai, co-founder of Resolex, and Mr. Sunil Kumar Jha, chief financial officer. We will start the call with a brief overview of the past quarter by the management, followed by a Q&A session. We would appreciate your cooperation and restrict yourself to two questions to allow participants an opportunity to interact. If you have any further questions, you may join the queue and we will be happy to respond to them if time permits. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Kamath. Over to you, Akash.
Good evening, everyone, and thank you for joining OnePoint One Solutions Quarter 4 Financial 26 Earnings Call. We appreciate the continued trust and confidence of our investors, analysts, partners, and employees as we continue building a future-ready AI-first global enterprise. We would begin by giving you a quick introduction of our company, followed by a discussion on our AI offerings by the co-founder of Resolex. Then our CFO will walk us through the numbers, after which we can open the floor to questions from the participants. 1.1 has evolved from a traditional BPM company into a globally connected technology-enabled organization focused on customer experience and digital transformation. Today, we operate across multiple domains, geographies, delivery ecosystems with one clear focus of building intelligent, scalable, and outcome-led operations for enterprise navigating a rapidly changing world. FY26 has been a defining year in our transformation journey. We meaningfully expanded our international footprint through strategic acquisitions and strengthened our multi-shore delivery capabilities across India, United States, Singapore, Costa Rica, Colombia, and Panama. With the acquisition of Netcom BCC in Costa Rica, we significantly deepened our BFSI expertise and enabled a strong nearshore presence in North and Latin America markets. This positions us uniquely to aid with operational resilience, multilingual customer engagement, and AI-led efficiencies in an increasingly uncertain environment. We established 1.1 USA Incorporation in March 2023 and made our first acquisition, ITQ Solutions, in February 2024. Establishing a robust presence in the global market. This was followed by the creation of a new technology subsidiary called 1.1 Technology Labs in 2025. This is a subsidiary that was developed our flagship AI brand Resolex, and I will talk about it in more detail shortly. In September 2025, we made our second acquisition, Artemis PTE Limited, through our subsidiary 1.1 Singapore PTE Limited. Finally, in February 2026, we completed our third acquisition, Netcom BCC in Costa Rica. Netcom has been one of the largest BPM companies in Costa Rica for 30 years, with a rich heritage of servicing some of the most prominent banks across Latin America. As we expand our operations globally, we accelerated our technology-led transformation strategy with a clear realization that enterprise AI success is no longer about access to tools, but about integrating AI into real business flows with governance, accountability, and measurable outcomes at scale. That insight became the foundation of Resolex, with the co-founder, Mr. Rajeev Desai, who will elaborate after this on my comments. On the back of our AI product and platform stack, our leadership was recognized with our chairman and managing director, Mr. Akshay Chhabra, being awarded as the most promising business leader of the year 2026, along with the Company Award for Best Organization and Development and Transformation and People's First Award for the year 2026. As we look ahead, our strategy remains focused on three priorities. First, accelerate organic growth through AI-led transformation opportunities across existing enterprise accounts. Second, scaling Resolex as a differentiated enterprise AI platform across high-value sectors, including BFSI, airline, healthcare, automotive, and digital commerce. And third, continue the disciplined inorganic expansion strategy. We have a strong inorganic pipeline in place and plan to make two to three acquisitions over the next few years. As a strategy, we acquire already profitable companies of a similar size and incorporate our agentic AI to strengthen our core operations and further improve our profitability. Our acquisitions are EPS accretive from day one. The next era of customer experience will not be built on isolated AI developments. It will be built on connecting intelligent ecosystems that seamlessly combine AI, human expertise, and domain depth along with operational execution. At 1.1, we believe we are uniquely positioned for the future. Our evolution from BPM operator into an AI transformation company is already underway, powered by our proprietary AI ecosystems, strengthened by strategic acquisitions, and accelerated by a growth global customer base that increasingly values measurable outcomes over fragmented technology developments. At this time, I would also like to introduce Mr. Rajeev Desai, co-founder of Resolex and one of the key architects behind our AI-led transformation journey. Rajeev brings deep expertise across technology, AI systems, customer operations, and workflow intelligence. Over the years, he has worked extensively on solving complex enterprise challenges through intelligent operational frameworks, particularly in high-regulated and customer-sensitive industries. His vision has been instrumental in shaping Resolex into an enterprise-grade AI ecosystem designed not just for experiment but for scalable real-world deployment. Thank you, and over to you, Rajeev.
Good evening to all the participants in this earnings call. My name is Rajeev Desai, and I've been associated with 1.1 Solutions for the last 3.5 years, and now the co-founder of Resolex. Resolex was not created as another AI product layer or automation tool. It was built to solve what we believe is the biggest software service gap in enterprise AI today. Most enterprises today have fragmented AI stacks, disconnected workflows, and siloed customer journeys. AI implementation alone does not create transformation. Real transformation happens when AI is combined with domain expertise, orchestration, compliance, workflow intelligence, and human oversight to solve real-world operational challenges at scale. That is the philosophy behind Resolex. Built under 1.1 Technology Labs, Resolex is our dedicated AI-first resolution ecosystem designed to help enterprises move from fragmented automation to intelligent, resolution-driven operations. It combines agentic AI, orchestration, real-time intelligence, and operational execution into a unified ecosystem that delivers frictionless experience at scale while maintaining governance, observability, and human empathy. Today, Resolex is already live across 7 engagements with 10 to 12 active proof of concepts across sectors including banking, airlines, automobiles, and healthcare. Our solutions include Omdia, an orchestration layer unifying voice, email, chat, and workflows into a seamless customer journey. Provide, delivering real-time intelligence to agents, equipping them with the right answers at the right moment for faster and confident resolutions. Frequency, converting customer interactions into actionable business, product, and workforce insights. And Penpal, an intelligent communication partner ensuring tone, clarity, and brand consistency across every piece of customer-facing writing. Together, this platform, what we call Resolution as a Service, where the focus shifts from deploying software to guaranteeing resolution outcomes. What differentiates Resolex is that it is born agentic and not retrofitted. It is designed around enterprise workflows, operational accountability, explainability, and measurable business outcomes. We believe the future of AI will not be defined by who deploys the most AI tools, but by who can operationalize intelligence most effectively within enterprise environments. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Sunil Kumar Jha, our Chief Financial Officer, to take you through the numbers for the quarter and financial year ended March 31st, 2026. Over to you, Sunil.
Thank you, Rajeev sir. And good evening to all the participants who have logged into for this call. I would love to begin remarks by discussing our financial performance for Q4 and FY25-26. During Q4 FY26, our revenue from operation was INR 96.2 crore, reflecting a 24.5 quarter-on-quarter growth and 43.5 year-over-year increase from Q4 FY25. This growth was broad-based and driven by our customer increasing program volume. Our EBITDA from Q4 FY26 stood at INR 25.2 crore, a 10.6% increase from INR 22.8 crore in Q3 FY26. Finally, our PAT from Q4 was INR 10.3 crore, an 8.9% increase from 8.6 crore in Q3 FY26. We continue to observe efficiency from our agentic AI, which are expected to drive margin higher over next few years as we scale up our operations. Coming to the FY26 results, revenue from operation stood at INR 313.4 crore compared to INR 256.4 crore in FY25. Representing a year-on-year growth of 22.2% over. Our EBITDA has improved significantly from INR 90.4 crore up 19.3% from INR 75.8 crore in FY25. Finally, while our PAT for FY25-26 was INR 38.2 crore up 15.2% from INR 33.2 crore in FY25. For a more accurate representation of net profit, we suggest reviewing our total comprehensive income of INR 43.5 crore for FY26, up 30.8% from INR 33.3 crore in FY25. To summarize, Q4 continues the upward trajectory seen over the past few quarters. We are convinced that we will be able to capture the large market opportunity ahead of our using Resolute.ai solution and growing our organic customer base. Our growth strategy is anchored in well-balanced combination of strategic core revenue, ramp-up of new customer, and a strong diversified pipeline of opportunities. Looking ahead, we remain focused on sustainable, profitable growth through disciplined execution and operational excellence. FY26 was another year of strong financial and operational growth for our business in a turbulent environment. With a healthy customer pipeline, growing enterprises demand disciplined capital allocation and a differential AI stack already proven in live environment, we believe we are still in the early stage of a multi-year growth journey. Our focus remains clear, driven sustainable, profitable growth while continuing to invest in innovation, talent, and scalable growth, global capability that creates long-term shareholder value. Thank you. We are handing our call to Shashank.
Sir, can I open the floor for the questions, sir?
Yes, please.
Sure.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press star and one on a telephone keypad and wait for your turn to ask the question. If you would like to withdraw your request, you may do so by pressing star and one again. Participants are requested to restrict yourselves to two questions in the initial round and may join back the queue for more questions. Wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. We have a first question from the line of Faraz from SRE. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir, you're audible, sir. Please go ahead with the question.
All right. Thank you. Good evening. Sir, you've completed around 33.37 million USD Netcom acquisition and call out stronger onshore offshore. So what is the integration status today and what are the synergies like cross-sell, delivery optimization and in terms of rollout are already, you know, visible to us?
So, thank you for your question. We started our integration and financial integration happened for 1 month in this year. This year, full integration of our results in the coming year. As you know, technology and AI is concerned, we've already run pilots and we're rolling in our boss with one of the largest federal banks possible there. Production solutions and we are completely deployed it over there. So I think in about another month or so, we should see that going across multiple banks and multiple solutions. We're also looking at taking our technology from omnichannel platforms as well as other products of Resolix also to the customers. It will unfold in a quarter or maybe a quarter and a half and two, but we've made a very strong position with our AI-enabled technology across all the customers in Latin America today.
Okay. And I have another question on in terms of acquisitions. You have indicated a pipeline for 2-3 acquisitions over 5 years. And I suppose the EBITDA target, 18-20% EBITDA businesses. With a path to say 25-30% via AI optimization. So how will you fund these? Is it via debt versus equity versus internal accruals? And also, if you
it will be a combination.
Okay. And
it will be a combination of both. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, and just what leverage and ROIC guardrails will management follow?
I think that's a little difficult to really say in terms of what guardrails and ROI to run, but what we are very clearly indicating is that we will use a combination to really acquire funds. These are all EBITDA accretive companies. So all this will happen is that we'll be start seeing much positive and better results and we'll be able to optimize our earnings and EBITDA margins at the back of AI. And that is what we are trying to currently do. And so far we've been able to do that across our key acquisitions and it's reasonable great results for us and that's the way to go ahead in the market.
All right, sir. Thank you. I'll get back in with you.
Sure.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Yogesh Patil, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you very much and congratulations, sir. Good set of numbers. So my question is basically on presentation on slide number 9, we saying the efficiency gain of 20-40% for our enterprise customers, right? So how do you how do we are benefiting out of this and how do we judge on this? How do we judge we are basically is just see this increase or given a parameter, but still I'm just want to know how we are benefiting and how the clients are benefiting.
It's a very good question. So when we are saying that this 20-40% benefit is exactly where our AI solutions and our AI plays comes into play. So today, when we want to clearly bag a customer or a larger contract, we have to either play it on a price or from a value proposition. Our value proposition comes from a combination that we don't bring down our cost, we play at a right price, but we try and give them a TCO savings, and that's what's indicated in terms of 20-40. Some will be a part of our efficiency in running, some will be a part of digital savings for them, some will be a part of using AI products to try and leverage their ecosystems for higher volume. So it's a combination of all three, depending upon the customer, their availability, their tech platform. But it definitely translates to a 20-40% savings. So it becomes a winner for us from differentiating ourselves with other players because we're just not selling platform, we're selling services and outcomes. So that's where we stand a good chance to make a good winning and go ahead from an organic growth perspective.
Okay. Sir, is it possible to quantify, let's say, with $100 million contract and some client is benefiting, the client is benefiting because of 20% efficiency gain. So how we consider internally, you said we don't compromise on pricing, I completely agree. But in terms of, is there any milestone kind of arrangement where when customer sees benefit, then only he can pass on certain benefits or he share the benefits with us, or it is inbuilt in pricing?
So when we say that we will give you a TCO saving in a given range between 20 and 40, it's a journey that we basically walk through with them to make it happen. Our positioning is not to sell a platform or a promise, but to sell an outcome to happen. So in the journey between 1 to 3 years on the total TCO, our objective is to work with them day to day so that if it's a 100 crore contract, they're able to achieve their desired outcomes in, let's say, 80 crores. Mm-hmm. And we are able to safeguard our price and be competitive in the market and have a value proposition ahead of our competitors. So that is how we try and make a win-win situation between us for them and take a notch above against our competition.
And then what percentage of current interaction across our delivery centers are being handled by AI or assisted by AI? Roughly, roughly approximately.
The percentage wise, it will be very difficult for me to answer in terms of a number, but I can tell you that we are making fair amount of inroads in about more than about 15 to 20% of our customers in at least 1 to 5 parts of LOBs, because we manage customers across spectrum of their services, which could be inbound, outbound, chat, email, social media, and so on and so forth. So about 15% of our customers have actively deployed our AI solutions in one or multiple levels of LOBs with them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And in last 3 to 4 years, roughly, we also invested in AI, I'm sure. I'm not aware, but I'm sure we invested. So are we getting a desired output in terms of financial ratio, in terms of, let's say, it's very difficult to generate ROI, but in terms of when we spend on AI, so efficiency gain is as per our expectations, or AI will help in getting the business? These are two different parameters.
Ultimately, we all are here to make money. So the AI is helping us to move the business forward. So once the revenue comes in, we are able to leverage and try and get an ROI for us. So whatever we have invested so far is definitely giving us the growth trajectory that we basically planned for. And with the growth trajectory and with more and more accounts and more customers subscribing to a very successful AI-driven journey today, we are on the path of getting a good ROI and an ROE for us on this journey today.
Okay. And then our recent ResolveX and the AI capabilities. So, in terms of what is our initial client feedback or our estimates roughly? How much we are going to benefit? Maybe let's say FY28, not FY27.
Are you talking about financial numbers, or are you talking about
business? How much?
Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah. I think because of ResolveX, this is a new tool for us. So, sorry, this lab is new to us. And because of this, what is the initial feedback of our clients and what is our basically expectation, how much revenue we can generate? Additional business or maybe profitability where you can quantify?
So, I think it's a very good question. I think ResolveX will steerhead our flagship services from an AI generative activity. And as I said earlier, it is going to become a way to get into larger deals to try and crack them from a TCO perspective. We should be able to generate revenues to add to our more EBITDA accretive strategy and thereby provide TCO to them. So from a exact number perspective, we won't be able to really give you a number in terms of what's the kind of scale of growth you do. But to throw more light in terms of our customers and how we're really shaping up into the customers, I'll let Rajiv give a little bit inputs on how our customers are reacting to this as of now.
Thanks, Akash. So today, wherever we've deployed, we've been able to pass on over 30-35% of efficiencies back to the client on day one of deployment. And that's the testimony that is helping us spread the word of mouth, or what we call it as net promoter score, or someone speaking loudly about how they've been successfully been able to deploy this ecosystem. And each of the clients that we've deployed for has referred another 2 to 3 clients to us, which has helped us create a healthy pipeline of at least upwards of 12 to 15 paid POCs that are ongoing at this point in time.
Okay. So this is the last question from my side. Since we are investing a lot in AI, so do you see the incremental employees will be limited? Since we are servicing the service industry, so still we need employees to service our clients, and AI could be one of the tools. So in that sense, do you see in the next 3-4 years we get a very margin trajectory would be much higher, or because we already spend on AI and incremental employees could be lower with my limited understanding. So just wanted your guidance on margins and gross margins.
Our margins will remain between 20-25%. There is a good chance that for some of the businesses, we will be able to try and take a larger quantum leap. But AI as an industry is still being a little more adaptive across multiple industries and verticals, and it will only progress over the next 3 to 5 years. And as it progresses more, we will see a larger increase in our margins and also growth on our revenues. As regards people are concerned, there will be a shift from the skill set what they are here today to a different skill set. So we will have people managing more complex queries which require a human intervention and which are not in the entire current framework of workflows. So there will be a skill set movement, but I think it's going to be a good balanced approach in the coming times to come.
Okay. Thank you very much and all the best. And that's it for my time.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on a telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on a telephone keypad. Next question comes from the line of Nachiket Kale from Juggernaut Ventures. Please go ahead.
Yes, hi. Good evening, sir. Outstanding conclusion to this fiscal year. Congratulations on successfully crossing the finish line with this Netcom acquisition also. Very interesting, and thanks for your insights on that already. You know, building directly on our question, discussion from the last quarter's phone call, I want to ask, you had mentioned that, it's a balancing act between organic growth and your inorganic pipeline. So the focus was supposed to be more on acquiring profitable companies of similar size. Now that Netcom is already in the fray, and you are targeting some 25% EBITDA for FY27, right?
That's right.
Okay. So could you just talk more about, ground level execution and any nitty-gritties or challenges or benefits which you are facing in deploying your agentic middleware or Gen AI workflows?
I'll let Rajiv take this quick question so that he can give you.
So this is more aligned towards how quickly can we get forward. Yeah. So this is majorly on how the operational efficiencies will roll out.
Sure. Thanks, sure. Akash, and thanks for the question. So today, I think what we've done as a platform in ResolX is we've heavy lifted on creating the platforms for ourselves to replicate and deploy very quickly into the ecosystem. Now, typically, okay. we look at competition in the market, the integration capabilities that competition is bringing specifically on the agentic AI is anywhere between 3 months to 6 months to start or deploy anything which is not so easy or a little complicated with multiple APIs and everything coming into play. With us, we are able to deploy this in as low as about 1.5 to 2 weeks to a maximum of about 4 to 5 weeks. That's okay. point number one. Point number two, what people usually invest in is forward deployed engineering. What this means is that because they are a tech company, they don't have the domain expertise.
Right.
And they have to get someone else from outside to build on a specific use case or a center of excellence or an industry specialty that you want to build. Now, by the time you build something and you execute and you go chase a customer, then get your LOI and then get into deployment, becomes a very long cycle.
Correct.
But for us, because we are already a domain expert and the integration between domain plus tech comes in super handy for clients because we understand the realities on the ground. We are talking to customers, we are talking to people where rubber hits the road, right? So, if anything is happening, we will be the first eyes and ears to the product company. And that helps us in terms of having an upper edge in terms of understanding, deployment, and making sure that the edge cases are very less, which need human intervention to a great extent.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, this is very helpful. So, another question, like just following up on that, as you like very rightly mentioned, like you are hitting the road, like rubber to the road. So, can you just articulate as to how this can lead to, you know, adjacencies or driving the organic growth part? Because inorganic, of course, there are some factors in your end and some factors not in your end. But, you know, as the compute power grows and AI itself becomes very effective, does our organic business, do we have scope to charge more? And since we can really drive the transformations to a bigger and faster pace, so does the organic bit grow faster because of this?
So there are two things that a client pays money for, right? One is if you're able to solve their problem.
Correct.
So if they are stuck and if you have a problem to the solution, or if you have a solution to the problem that they are facing, they will pay you. Second, they will pay for the experience. So, you know, it's like going to a 5-star versus going to a no-star or a 1-star restaurant. There is a premium you pay for the ambience and the kind of service you receive. Now, as far as we are concerned, we are targeting and our positioning is resolution as a service, which means we are already providing white glove experience along with solving your problem and guaranteeing you that, yes, we will be able to solve for it. So, we try to encapsulate both those things why the customer pays us as a part of our strategy in terms of position and what we are there in the market for. So, I think that should possibly answer both of your questions, but if you have any follow-up, that I'm more than happy to address.
Yeah. So one question on other bits. You know, because of this West Asia development, so we've seen the high crude prices and airline industry is one of the most impacted industry. And last quarter, we had started an engagement with Akasa. So, how is the progress on that front, and does these macro issues affect that engagement, or this is something critical to them and they will not compromise on that?
So, as far as we are concerned, Akasa is growing its aircraft position month on month, and virtue of that, we are growing both on agentic AI as well as on people, obviously not in the same trajectory as they would add, because the whole idea is that you are bringing in efficiency. So, say for example, if you had to add 15 people for an aircraft that gets added, today we are probably adding 50% lesser than that. Having said that, we migrated the business in the airline space for one or two or three LOBs. But today, with what we've been able to deliver for them, we are expanding and growing into multiple other LOBs. So airline and aviation is not just about running a contact center, right? There are many things attached to it, like loyalty program, like scheduling crews, managing their efficiencies, managing a contact center for them, integrating their dialer ecosystem with a different product. So it's multifaceted. So just managing contact center is not what we are doing for the aviation and airline industry today. But we are now enhancing our capabilities to become a true end-to-end service provider for an industry, which becomes possible with the you know, the ResonX platform that we've got, plus other capabilities that we bring together as a part of creating boutique solutions and API integration for our customers.
So the wallet share can still keep expanding, just to sum it up in one line.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's very encouraging to hear. Thanks for your insights as always. That's all from us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question comes from the line of Vikas Gupta from Whitestone Research. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, sir, you are audible.
Yes, you are audible.
Yes. So, thank you for the opportunity. So, my first question is how we will define our defensible moat. There is a lot of competition in the segment. So, our moat will be what? Will it be technology, price, some niche expertise? How will you define it?
So, in all along in our conversations, we've been talking about that we partner with you to really navigate you through your entire outcomes. And we'll keep doing it. So, it's not about just selling a technology or a platform, but being with the customer to really try and travel the journey to make the desired outputs happen. And that's a very big differentiation in the market today. If you look at our competitors and if you look at the landscape of AI, people are currently offering platforms and technology that can probably give them a way to find answers to their problems today. But what we are signing up and what we are offering is a little different. We are offering them a journey with them to take them to the respected outcomes, which is significantly different today. So it's a very different service, and I think what everybody likes is if you can tie up with their end objective, their goal, and take them through, they're happy to really partner with you. So that's our differentiation in the market today from our platform as well as our delivery.
Okay. And will it be possible to share your revenue percentage of revenue, say, from top 5 clients or maybe some geography-wise breakup?
I'm not sure right now if you can really try and do that, but I can tell you that our revenue that we currently have is very high on BFSI as a segment. And then it is followed up with other industries. And our recent acquisition in Netcom has only strengthened our BFSI positioning globally, and not only in India, but as well as across North America and Latin America markets. We were anyway very strong in India to manage a 6,000 crore book size. Now we are managing a much larger book size, from collections to customer service, and doing larger niche businesses on the banking and financial sides.
Okay. So whatever breakup it is right now, I'm sure 2 years down the line, it will look totally different. Is it understanding correct?
Every business revolves and evolves over a period of time, and the composition changes. With newer acquisitions that we have slated to take over, there will definitely be a change in the composition in certain degree and element based on how and what kind of acquisitions we have. So, it is bound to change.
And how much will be the current net debt on the books?
Sunil, you want to take this answer very quickly?
Yeah, good evening, sir. So if you talk about debt, we are debt-free company. We have taken debt only for acquisition purpose, that is Netcom acquisition. So in this acquisition, we have exposure around 23 million debt of debt. So currently, in the disbursement point of view, they have disbursed 14.75 million debt. That is only debt. Otherwise, company is debt.
Okay, fine. And there is one line item in P&L which says other comprehensive income. So what exactly is that?
It's a exchange fluctuation. Since we are multi-party company, so we are focusing. So last quarter, this is too many exchange differences are coming. So it's an exchange FCTR.
So that entire amount of 5 crore rupees is related to this exchange only.
Yeah, it's a exchange only.
Okay. And what does the company will look like, say, in FY28? Any targets in terms of revenue or margins? Anything you want to guide?
So, as I said, that we are a forward-looking organization, and we will have the entire revenues of Netcom BCC consolidated for the next financial year. So we should be heading close north of roughly around 600 to 700 CR from a top-line perspective. We should be. And that's where the focus is, to try and make the organization to go as higher as possible in the times to come, because it's a combination of organic as well as inorganic growth. And that's what we intend to try and drive the company to.
Okay. Fine. That's all from my side. Thanks a lot.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on a telephone keypad. Next question comes from the line of D.R. Jain from Sophia Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Am I audible?
Yes, ma'am. You're audible.
Yes, you are.
So, how much have we invested in our agentic AI ecosystem as of now?
We have Resolex. In terms of capital, are you looking at, or are you looking at
capital?
Any other?
So, if you talk about investment, we are. Yeah, I'm audible, ma'am.
Yes, sir.
So, if you talk about, we are constantly investing towards AI investment like that. So, as yet, we have invested around 100 CR like that.
Okay, sir. And can we expect like a 25% to 30% growth for FY27? Or is that to come?
We are anywhere in the trajectory of we are anyway on a trajectory of 24% year-on-year growth. So, I think we should be able to continue that in the years to come.
Okay, sir. Understood. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please press star and 1 on your telephone keypad. There are no further questions. Now I hand over the floor to the management for the closing comments.
Thank you, everybody, and thank you so much for participating in this. Look forward for the next call, and we can continue the conversation. Thank you so much. Bye-bye.
Thank you, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, this concludes your conference for today. Thank you for your participation. We'll see you soon using Doosabuzz conference call service. You may disconnect your lines now. Thank you, and have a pleasant day.